So before we start, you're ready to go?
Let me just get the...
Yep, is this on? This mic's on?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Cool. That's good. So you've got all your controls, you got your screens and your computer.
Yeah, run sheet's good.
You've also got something else there that I've left that you might need. Well, I highly suggest you do need. That's the one, mate.
What's this?
Get pissing. That's a drug test. When there's smoke, there's fire, brother. And the rumors are too strong to deny anymore. So before we start, I want you to stand up, pee in that, then bring it back out.
Can I do it next week?
Why would you do it next week?
14 days. Is that all right? No, I just haven't had enough
water. Do
you
need 14 days?
Maybe 15.
Because that is fueling the fire a little bit.
All right, I'll do it.
Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome to the Dan Does Footy Podcast. You can find more of Dan Does Footy on the website, Spotify, YouTube, and social media. Lids off. See ya.
There was heaps of sick kids, and I was like, where are they? Kick him harder. Kick him all harder. Punch him in the face. I'm bloody horizontally challenged, if you get what I mean. Oh no. Oh, tough crowd today. Should we say this is the line? If you don't hear the next bit, it's over.
Football is back. Oh, we've waited so long for it. We're back, and things are already spicy. They're very spicy. 159 days since we last had football, and we're back to regular programming. No more of this soft serve stuff, fluffy preseason games. I don't know about opening round still, but we'll take some football. We'll take some football. And before we get into footy, because we're going to talk a lot of footy this episode, let's catch up with our favourite producer, the guy who shops it off your tree. Ollie, how are we, mate?
I shop it off your tree, do I? Specifically in Frankston, I heard.
Off your tree. Yeah, Frankston, off your tree.
Just so you know, there are some normal things you can buy it off your tree. There's a bed sheet set, Lucifer quilt cover. Including two pillowcases, $75.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
You don't. They've got some bizarrely cookware and homeware.
Do you say normal items like a Lucifer quilt cover?
Yeah, just like everyday stuff. Yeah, that you buy. Just normal things.
Yeah, right. Well, I haven't been off your tree. There is a lot of ceramic bongs that get bought there. From what
I see.
Yeah,
but you don't know what people use those for, incense and like. You know.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not going to judge books by their cover, which you are getting judged a lot.
You reckon?
But you have had a great couple of days, I think. You and I had brekkie Saturday.
We did.
That was a great breakfast.
Firstly, before we had the breakfast, we wanted to get a photo outside the billboard.
Yep.
And two sets of people walked past and went, "Ooh, that's you."
Yep.
And the most awkward one was the first person because she just said, "Oh, there you are." And you went, "Yeah." And then she kept walking. And we didn't have time to explain what we were doing.
I thought she was going to stop and ask for a signature or a photo, but she just didn't want a bar of it. And fair enough as well. But we got some photos in front of it.
Yeah.
Then we went down to Cheeky Monkey and we got, you had just eggs on toast.
Eggs on toast, nice and clean. But I would have added more if they weren't out of something on the menu.
Tyler, wait person, is that what we call them? Cafes? Wait staff?
Waiter. A wait person.
Oh, my God. Waiter
yes.
Came up to us. As I was saying to you how funny it is that people are leaning into you being your bong smoker self.
Which I'm not.
Saying how funny it is and how much we love the engagement on that. And Tyler comes over to take our order. And the first thing he says is, just to let you know, there's no mushrooms on the menu. I know how you get about these things. And just hit a home run straight away.
Yeah, he smashed it. No, thank you. Look, it's not true, but I love the community joining in.
Yeah.
It was exactly what we wanted on that Saturday morning. It was great.
Do you have a sister?
I do.
She didn't host like a dinner party or anything the last couple of months?
Jesus. Not that I know of. Okay. She's in Tasmania. I don't know if that's why.
What is your sister's name?
Sarah.
Sarah. Nice. To meet her when we're in Tassie. Will we go to Tassie? There's no games for us really to go there.
Yeah, no, we'll go to Tassie, but I just want to go back to why you're asking if my sister hosted a dinner party.
Oh, well, there's obviously that famous dinner party. I was trying to connect some dots, mate. Okay, so did you really just get that?
I
set it up for you as hard as I could. This is what I'm working with here. We had last episode one of the all times here. with us. Leggy. What a conversation we had. Leggy, just an unbelievable human being and a great chat. I didn't realize how long we speak for. We speak for a long time to these guests.
It was about, what, hour 45?
Hour 45. I listened on the way here and I'm up to the Sparkle Bomb stuff. And I can't believe you didn't do Sparkle Bombs.
No, I think I did, but I remember putting them in ripped tennis balls.
Yeah. Interesting tactic.
Yeah.
I'm going to let one off this weekend, I think, just to run it back. Go down nostalgia lane.
How many years do you reckon?
Oh, I reckon my last sparkler would have been pre-draft.
Yeah.
So that's, I reckon, 2008. Yeah. My last bomb.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so where are you going to do it? Just in the street?
I'm down on the coast this weekend, so could be a bit rough.
Could you do it in Brisbane?
Oh, if the Blues win, I'm going to Brizzy, everyone. If the Blues win, I'm letting a sparkler bomb off on the ground this weekend because footies, I am so pumped. Thank God it's back. Before, I know we're kind of going off track here, but my shoulders are really sore. Why? I've got torn labrums from the career. This is genuinely, I'm not trying to take the piss.
All right.
I have torn labrums in my shoulders.
What's a labrum?
So the labrum is you got labrums in your hip and your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's almost like a cushion that goes in between your socket and like the bone, the head of the bone.
Yep.
So obviously my arms go into my shoulder and your legs into your hips. I've done my hips, but my shoulders need some new labrums. But like all the boys, the season just started and it's a big season and I'm not going to go in for surgery yet. So I'm going to book my shoulder surgery when all the other players are going in at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Just to run into them as well.
Big
you know,
time.
What are you in for? Oh, round 24, running, bang, surgery. Me, just like carry these shoulders all season.
I remember I did my ACL and I used to work with Bianca Chatfield, of course, netball fame, captain of Australia, yeah. I think on the block at one point.
Abby Chatfield.
Bianca Chatfield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. And she used to play for Collingwood in the netball. Yes. And when I did my ACL, she booked me in at the next to the Holden Centre. You know, there's a physio and it was so embarrassing because I did my knee playing Quidditch. And I'm in the waiting room and there are a bunch of Collingwood players like limping out after, and it was so embarrassing.
So I just wasn't expecting. I'm not laughing that you've done your knee or that even you play Quidditch. It was just you put the two things together.
Oh, yeah.
Run me through how you've done
that. You could have actually seen me doing it because it was the Melbourne University Unicorns that used to practice outside Princes Street.
I love this
next
so
to the
much.
Blues, yeah.
So you played Quidditch.
I did one training session and I did my knee.
You know what? On the way, I took Anna to work this morning and we put the Leggy episode on.
Yeah.
And you said that the Harry Potter on PlayStation thing. Yeah. So this all makes sense.
Yeah, I'm a big
You're
fan.
A big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah, when I first moved to Melbourne though, I was working at a radio station at the time.
Mm.
And so I'd do unique sports. So like one week I'd speak to a world chess champion, blah, blah, blah. And I went, right, this week I'm going to go out and play Quidditch with the Melbourne Unicorns and you've got a PVC pipe between your legs. And I bent down to pick up the quaffle, which is just a dodgeball, and just did my ACL.
Dawn.
And you've never – look, if you have ever felt more – like there's nothing that brings you back down to earth faster than sitting on the Quidditch sidelines with an ice pack over your knee with your PVC pipe next to you. You've got the Carlton boys training in the background. Mm. You've got the type of operators you can imagine playing Quidditch.
Yeah.
That aren't injured.
Well, and I'm also thinking now that Quidditch, I don't know about their physios or like, there's not a long out there, or even ice packs.
There's not a lot.
On the Quidditch field.
No, well, traditionally, you know, all injuries are fixed by a wand.
Yeah, true. Expelliarmus.
Yeah.
You might be the first person to ever do a knee playing Quidditch.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. Yeah, I'm proud of it. But then going in for your physio with all the Collingwood and Melbourne players, it was the funniest thing ever.
Did anyone have a wand on them and try? Just like, were they the next level like Harry Potter and be like, ACL, I'm Armas. ACL, fixio.
I didn't know you spoke Spanish.
ACL, fixio.
No, look, they didn't, but they, it was, so I'm having like PTSD thinking back to it.
Yeah, you seem a bit flustered. Okay, I've only watched one Harry Potter, but
really?
I watched the, what's the first one where they run in the platform?
Yeah, the first one, Philosopher's Stone.
I'm going to do a couple of voices and you try and guess who I am.
Yeah.
Not now, Harry.
Snape.
Yeah.
Harry. Bloody, come in here and give me a kiss, Harry. Oh, I mean, it sounds like Ron, but I don't remember that quote.
No, it was Hermione.
That was Hermione. Yeah, give me a kiss.
Well done. Anyway, that's very funny by you. I had a cool moment last night that actually made me cry. And I'm a big crier, so I'm not going to say I'm not a big crier. But went to a launch, Hotshot PR. Steph launched it. Congrats, Steph. And I walked into a room because she used to work at Fox Footy, and a lot of the fossils were there and the people that have been in the media for a long time. And I walked in, and at first I was like, well, this is a lot, because I've actually insulted 75%, maybe more than that, in this room. Well, and I got a lot of greasies.
I'm looking at the list behind you there, a few of the faces.
Dermy wanted to belt me. 100% he did. Who else was there that wanted to belt me? Howie didn't give me a lot. Annie Ma was okay to me. The cool people I met and I actually do really respect were Billy Brownless.
Mm-hmm.
David King.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of Kingy.
Like Kingy.
Yeah. And the really cool moment was Eddie Maguire.
No.
The godfather of this media space. And he came up to me and shook my hand and said, I love what you're doing. And we left shortly after, and I got outside and just lost it.
Wow. That is pretty big.
Like cried. Like,
did you? So what, yeah. you look up to him or?
It was just one of those moments where I don't see what's happening. Mm. Like I just, with this and with everything, I'm just doing it. And there are so many great people that listen and watch the stuff and they say how good it is or whatever they might say. Like they love listening, they love the socials. But that was probably the first time when I was like, whoa, that's cool. Like this is something.
Yeah.
And out of that, I sat in the car after and I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is a crazy life I'm living.
Yeah.
And I have this massive feeling always of this imposter syndrome that I just shouldn't be here doing this and that people actually listen. Number one on the charts, so you definitely do listen. But people listen and people engage. And it's like, that was the first time I've ever in the last 5 years where I've been like, whoa, this is actually something.
From what I know of you as well, I didn't expect it to be Eddie to have that effect on you.
No.
Was that same for you?
Like, it was just like Eddie's one of those guys, and maybe you as well. Growing up, he was the footy show, and he was like pulled all these strings in the industry. Like he was the go-to guy if you wanted something. Broke stories, did everything. You see him on TV every night, and it was like whoa. That was like my holy shit kind of moment.
Did you try and get him in?
He said no.
Did you ask?
No, I was going to, and I was like, oh, I actually got flustered. I don't really get flustered.
Oh, Ed's listening. So
he is. We know he's listening. You told me. And we're number one on the chart. So it was one of those ones where I was in the car and I was like, that was just really cool. And a big, big thank you to everyone who listens and engages. This and last night and all of this just does not happen without you. There's no me, there's no Ollie, there's no Dan Does Footy without you guys. So, yes, that was a moment of wow, but now looking back and appreciating all of this, thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much. It's amazing. And I hope that we bring you something each week that you love, and we're only going to try and get better. Mm. We are. And we do have a big week of footy coming up because it's round one. But I just want to go into red leg talk. Last week I spoke about how I was commenting on red leg talk to try and boost my draft stocks. Now, someone did find some chat on a red leg talk draft board.
So red leg talk, I'm assuming Norwood was your
home team.
Sample team, yeah. Local team. And this was he just talked about players.
This is it was about drafts, Browns, seniors, reserve, 16, 18s. And I was a topic of conversation on there because I was getting drafted out of Norwood and people, you know, have as they do on these forums, hate you, love you, whatever. And someone found a forum called Daniel Gorringe, spelled Daniel, D-A-N-I-A-L. Got it wrong in the first place. And there's an account called Henjo, which is just every chance to be my mum or dad. So the first one this person found was this Henjo commenting, has been training with Nord this week, left to go to draft camp today, can also confirm that his height is 200 centimetres. Oh, my mum.
I mean, got the, yeah.
Has access to the height. Next one. I really do not understand why you were using this forum to ridicule a kid. Perhaps you should create a new forum titled Players Who Shouldn't Be Drafted. Wow, it's truly amazing how people can get so negative quickly. You don't count Spud Day as most of your comments have been previously deleted anyway due to their stupidity and ignorance. I watched Grimes on the weekend and he did not have a great day out, but let's keep it real. I also saw ... just firming up to me, my mom and dad. Last one. Have seen Grimes play a few times this year, and what I find impressive is the ability to play him like a midfielder. He is very good below the knees and has great hands and a kick also. I would summarise him as an intelligent player as opposed to a bash and crash ruckman. He's also kicked goals. Right. So that wasn't my account. I can confirm that wasn't my account, but it's very, you guys are getting close to finding where I am on that fan and Bredlick talk.
You would imagine, though, the fact that what Henjo's done at least five pretty in detail comments, it's got to be
mum or dad.
Yeah.
They've got first hand information.
Knowing the height?
Specific, awfully specific.
At 17?
And going to my games, like as an 18-year-old, there's not many people rolling around at 18's game.
Yeah.
Even the reserves game at that point, there's not many people rolling up at 11 to see the Rezzies play. So, yeah, that's wild. Look, big week of footy, and I know that we're going to be late to the party on this, but we have to unpack Jimmy together because Jimmy fucked up and he's looking at 8 weeks to 2 years in prison. And it's a lot worse than the Sam Powell Pepper one. I think that's the big argument at the moment. Do you think or not?
I think it's not as bad.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I think the actual head contact was probably worse with Jimmy's, but what I would say is, when Sam Powell Pepper feels the need to do that, when the player is already being tackled to the ground in potentially a slight sling tackle form anyway, it feels like the most unnecessary thing you can do that will only cause damage to potentially the person he's trying to bump and or his teammate. So I think the contact leaving the ground is awful. The fact that there was zero shoulder to shoulder, it was just purely
zero.
It was shoulder to jaw.
Yeah.
But he wasn't being tackled. He wasn't, like, it was a one-on-one essentially. I didn't like how Sam Powell Pepper felt the need to inflict more pain on what was probably already going to be a painful moment, and the ball would have been dead or it would have been a free kick anyway.
Yeah. I think whether the actions were, the techniques were different in the sense that Sam Powell Pepper didn't leave the ground, but as you said, was the guy was being tackled. Did he need to come in? No. The thing about Jimmy's is that he was so late to it and generally not even in a contest jumped to hit a head. And that's where the AFL now has to come in. Unfortunately, Jimmy's going to cop it and probably going to cop more given that Brayshaw retired last week and they generally want to stamp this out. He'll get... We'll probably already know by the time this comes out. Mm. It's a 6 to 8 weeker, do you think?
Yeah, no, 100%. Mm. No, I do think that. And I think, one thing we don't know for sure is these two incidents will be referred to every week throughout the season.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of fair
because
there was not one moment in either of those two incidents where I watched it as a footy fan and went, yeah, awesome. Like, I love seeing that. Like
I'm
I do. I love big hits. I love when there's a bit of biff, but there was not one moment out of either of those two where I thought, yes, wicked. Like,
nah.
We love that.
And do I think Jimmy has that in him like a thug? Do I think he left the air going, I'm going to take Jai's head off? Absolutely not. It looked like a genuine brain fade, just rush of blood to the head, I'm going to jump and hit him. Mm. But it was just so bad. And also... It's preseason, Jimmy. You don't need to get out a second. You don't need to tackle someone, let alone cop 8 weeks. Like, not necessary.
But people speak about, oh, yeah, but, you know, footy players have only got a split second to decide these things. He had more than a split second.
He had 10 seconds when he was running from the middle of 50 to the boundary line.
This was a bit
odd. Jai running down the boundary. He had a lot of seconds to weigh that decision up. But there's a lot around this that's happening. The family have got involved. Here's Jimmy's brothers and sisters, laughing face emojis, all these other things saying it was a fair bump play on. Doesn't help.
Good night.
Doesn't help. Doesn't contribute to his sentencing. Mm. Not great for PR and the Saints. I think what we can all agree on is that there needs to be a rule brought in to the AFL that if you do that act and someone is just rocked and cannot play, get them off. Because you can't keep running around for a half a footy when you've just done that act. There has to be – now, is it a red card? I don't know. I think that's very soccery. But is it a send-off? 100%. Bring it in.
I think it doesn't have to necessarily be a red card, but I think if you look at soccer, for example, the punishment starts right there and then, because I would be furious if I was watching my soccer team and someone, you know, broke my striker's legs and then ended up going on to score that game. And yeah, he'll get a ban, but he had an influence on that game. Yeah. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, he changed that game.
Like, 100%. Imagine if Jimmy Webster then also went on and kicked, you know, 3 goals, for example.
Crazy.
You know, like that kind of thing. You'd be...
It is ridiculous.
As a North fan, ridiculous. You'd be furious.
So there has to be something. I want to tell everyone what you can do in the AFL right now without getting kicked off the field. So you can kick someone in the head, Toby Green-like. You can knock someone's head off like Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Squirrel grip.
What's a squirrel grip?
When you go down, grab the nuts and twist it. You can eye gouge. You can stab an opposition player. You can put someone in a chokehold. You could reach inside their mouth and rip their heart out. You could jump in your car, drive your car into the field and do a hit and run without being sent off in the AFL field right now. Yep. So something has to come in.
We'll address it, but not at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a big effort for a player mid-game to go get his keys from the locker room, get in the car, then bring the car on field.
Country footy.
But even then, not getting sent off at all. And what doesn't help all this is that the AFL, so weird because they want to look like they're on the front foot about concussion and player safety, which no doubt they've been better with, no doubt. But also, maybe don't host an AFL fight night in Gather Round. You know? Like, what do you want from us? Because you're saying all these great things about, you know, how you're protecting the head and there's so much research going into concussion and CTEs, but also got a few past players about to belt each other's head off.
That is insane. Like, that is such a good
pickup. How crazy is that?
Like, you do, like, Wii boxing or something.
Literally. Do anything but boxing. Like, you have a case of 100-plus players who are bringing a lawsuit to you and you're putting your former stars into a ring against each other to hit each other in the head. What are we doing? You know? What are we doing?
In a round that they are literally designing to put eyes on the sport.
You're endorsing
and the
it.
Game.
Endorsing it.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. So I don't know what they're doing at the moment, but they have to work out that probably they got to work out a send-off rule and not host AFL fight nights is the big one. Richmond's leadership group told me one thing before we get into the opening round.
Mm-hmm.
The captain's Toby Nank. Mm-hmm. Your vice-captains are Baker, Lynch and Shaw. No Jack Graham. Now, if Jack Graham has never been labelled a future captain of the footy club, well, he has.
Mm.
The fact that he's not even in the leadership group tells me that he is gone next year. And you can put that, you can take that to the bank. There's no reason for a 26-year-old Jack Graham to not be in that leadership group.
Contract's done end of this season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, done.
Done.
Yeah.
Done. Done, done, done.
I love Toby Nankervis, though. I think he's got a quiet – he's got a dog in him, but a quiet dog.
Yeah.
He's a good Georgetown Tasmanian boy. They breed them really rough right up there.
Do they?
Oh.
I love watching him. If you watch him closely in a stoppage, watch him just the sly stuff, the leaning on bodies, the getting up, putting the head in the ground. It's the little hits that he does and loves it.
Got a bit of squirrel grip in him potentially?
100% he would.
Really?
100%. I've been squirrel grip before. It's not fun.
I've never heard of
that. Yeah, just scared when you're down in like a – it's big back in the day, big stoppage. And if you're someone next to someone in a stoppage and they're on you, you just grab down, grab the nut, twist it.
So what, grab then twist or?
It's a grab and twist action.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, real grab and twist action. Bit like the Thai massage parlors. Going to Brisbane this week to watch the Blues play, as I said. Nervous, very nervous I am. I'm going back to the scene of the crime where the dream ended. I don't think Brisbane lose at home.
This season?
I don't think so.
Nah.
I don't think they'll lose at home and... It's a big ask from the Blues to go up there, but I'm going back up there. I'm going to lead, not the charge at all, but I'm going to lead the voice for Carlton from Melbourne going up there. Just a representative.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I'm doing a bloody tough. I don't want to be in this private booth, this private suite. I don't want to be in there.
Where, no. So have you got your you've probably just got GA, I would have thought.
General. What's GA again?
Admission. Yeah.
So that's that's how I enter the ground. Yes, correct.
Okay. And then what levels do you go?
What level? I think it's like 4, so nosebleeds, I think.
Mm, okay. Yeah. I think there might be 5.
I think it's 4 and they're like behind some glass and they keep bringing beers and stuff out. But
yeah, right, okay.
That's going to suck. So I'll be up there. the D's, few debutants this week, and I love these new, these creative debutant things that they do to announce players now making their debut. It's going to get crazy, I think. So the Melbourne one was that they team huddle. Jack Viner was like, "Hey boys, got an announcement. Rah rah's debuting. Yeah!" And they start running off. And then I think it was Neil Bullen was like, "Oh boys, one more." Rah rah, someone's debuting. Yeah. And then Max is like, "Nah, serious now, boys, for training, talk about standards. So and so's debuting." Yeah. Like, very creative. The worst ones are the family getting the phone call. They're so awkward.
I've never felt more uncomfortable than watching them, specifically the ones where the parents don't give a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got the sort of hard nut son who goes, "Yeah, anyway, I just wanted to let you know I'm playing this weekend."
Excited.
And then a bit of, good on you, mate. That's great.
Awesome.
I'll give you a call after training.
I want more. Yeah, they're so awkward. They've got to get creative. I reckon I'm just trying to think what I would do if I was a captain. Oh, you know what I do?
There's so many good ones.
So many. I'd be like, "Boys." "Boys, who's keen for a quick trip to Thailand?" Yeah, me. All right, then. We're going on the flight. Go over there. "Boys, put your bags down at the hotel. Meet me at this club." Yeah, no worries. A few Bacardi breezes.
Yeah.
"All right, you can obviously see we're at a club here, a certain type of show. I've lodged 3 ping pong balls into someone." And with that, our first debutant is... All right, boys.
So you got 3 debutants.
It's worth the trip. I have to now play 3.
That's true.
It's not worth for one.
So West Coast are going up. They've got, you know, a whole tub of ping pongs. Yeah.
That'd be a lot of ping pong balls getting out. That's how creative we're going to get this year, I think.
Yeah. Maybe can we have an ongoing awards the system best. Throughout
yeah,
the year?
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah, but yeah. I like that.
We'll track it throughout the year.
Yeah.
Opening round is here. Don't know about it. Still don't know about it, opening round. I'm very unsure. I don't like that there's only 4 games. I do love that there's no graveyard shift. I love that there's no graveyard shift. I think that the 420, 440 time slot is very difficult for fans and players because you don't want to be in it, and we don't have one this round.
Why don't you want to be in it in terms of time that you got to wake up, eat? It's weird, it's drawn out.
I mean, then your turnaround is so short. Normally what happens is you get the graveyard shift in Perth. So if you're a Melbourne, Adelaide, Gold Coast, interstate team that's not from Perth, you're getting the worst turnaround. You're getting the red eye out of there into a nothing training week and back out there again.
Yep.
It's just horrible and you're just behind. So there's no graveyard shift, but we do have Sydney versus Melbourne tonight at the SCG. And if the telecast doesn't have a good promo for the season upcoming, look out. Because there's nothing better than that promo.
It just gets the blood. Can you do the
blood
voice?
Going
tonight at the MCG?
Yeah, 18 teams battle. I don't know what it is, but they're going to do good. And then your hair just is off your skin. The blood's a bit warmer.
Yeah.
You're feeling things in your body that makes you feel like a teen again.
Yep.
It's just really, really, really exciting. So I hope they do one of those. Swans v Melbourne, the SCG. Clayton Oliver back.
Yep.
Big. Always going to happen. And I've told you, not the ideal prep for him at all. Probably had a month of preseason, but I just don't. It's one of those stories where he just plays well all year, like really well. He needs footy. I said to someone the other day, I think he just needs footy because it's apparent what's happened in the offseason that he gets, once he has something, he like fixates on it and does it. So footy is that to him. Mm. And now that he has footy back again, look at him just. Everything into it. Go, go, go.
So what do you just get used to the cycle of every off season? It's going to be a bit rough and then we're just going to bring the season back.
Well, they are some rough seasons and it's a dangerous way to live. Trust me. It is dangerous, but I think he just needs his footy. I think from the outside looking, he was very obviously lost without the football and now he's got it back. So I have no doubt that he's way too good for the twos and I love that he's back because he obviously loves his footy and needs it. Caleb Windsor, Melbourne pick 7 debuts, Blake Howes debut, and Jack Billings. What do you know about Jack? You big Saints fan?
I know a little bit about Jack.
Yeah. Do you like him? Think he'll be okay?
He's a great kick. That was what he was known for going through his draft profile. The only thing that I ever think about Jack Billings is the fact that we picked him above Bontempelli. So I struggle quite a lot of the time when I think about Jack Billings.
Was he pick 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would hurt a lot.
Because he's a good player. He is. But he's not the Bond.
I remember him like a couple seasons there, mostly at Marvel, being really good. Damaging on that wing.
Yeah, good left kick. And again, his kick is really good. His kick into the 50 is great. I think he came into his own when he won, I think off his own boot against the Western Bulldogs. We came back from like 60 points down. Like it was insane.
Yeah.
And like he's had a few big moments. But for a pick three, for what he's being paid, what he was being paid at the time for the Saints, just wasn't.
Has he lost some pace?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit,
because he's been quite injury prone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's been a bit of pace.
Should be him.
But, like, very handy.
Bloody oath, him and Langdon, opposite wings.
But, like, the Saints have obviously just gone through a bit of a changing in the guard in that sense. Like, we've got some really quick young guys, and Ross loves players who can run, so I get it.
Well, on the opposite side, we got Brodie Grundy back out against his old team. That Gorn Grundy will be big. And I think that's the right move for Grundy. It's a year late, the move, but jury's still out on Grundy, really.
In terms of, well, as a player?
I think, can he get back to what he was at Collingwood? I don't know. He had a long layoff with the injury. His confidence got dashed at Collingwood, obviously. They lost faith in him, said, go where you want, went to Melbourne. Didn't work with Melbourne. So now that he has more of an opportunity, will it work? He'll get way more exposure. But is it the Brodie Grundy that we know? Because that's our expectation of him, is to be this running ruckman, mobile, bouncing, doing all the stuff that we know Brodie can do. But can he get back there? I'm not sold on
it. So to confirm, when you say the jury's still out, you liked him at one point.
Loved him.
Right.
Loved him at Collingwood. Along with a few others, changed that ruck role.
Yeah.
Injured, not the same. Melbourne, didn't work. Sydney, He'll play every game, but will he be that Brodie Grundy we know?
Well, one thing we do know is a lot of players that go to either Sydney or Brisbane seem to end up totally rejuvenating their career.
Tom Hickey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Hickey was one. Tom Hickey was, and I respect Tom Hickey so much and love him, but he was a horrible footballer at the Suns. He was horrible.
You were same draftee, weren't you? Or
he was a zone selection pick.
Right.
So he was from Queensland and they had access to him.
Yeah.
And he asked Guy McKenna at one point, how close am I to a game? And Bluey was like, you couldn't be further away from playing in his first year. And he turned himself into a decent ruckman, a solid ruckman, which is a credit to him. But that's back to your point to the environment and how important it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe Grundy does. Have you watched Grundy go back 50, D50, and clunk marks in the D50 in a while?
It's true.
There is a real hole in his game that I see, and I think he just needs to get on his bike and get back, and then hopefully he gets back to playing good footy. Errol Goulden will be the player most likely to average around 30 touches this year. He's going to be forced into centre bounces now because they are got nothing in the middle with Adams and Parker out, and up and down that wing, the SCG, that's just, it's like he's like a greyhound on Adapto.
Yeah.
He loves that track.
Look, to be honest, that's great from you, but boring stat compared to the fact you've also put here, Errol Goulden is good looking.
Thank you for putting that out. He is good looking. He's getting better looking.
Better looking.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, very good looking human being and can play footy was my actual notes. And James Jordan from Melbourne, who they wanted to keep, had 31 touches last week in the practice game. He is red hot at the moment. Red hot. And he'll play a lot of midfield because, as I said, no Parker, no Adams. This game will be midfield battle, and that's where it'll be won. And I just don't think the Saints the Swans have the cattle in there to go with Melbourne at all. That you got Heaney in there now, who has to go in there. Rowbottom, Goulden. Ideally, you'd want him on a wing to use it. You don't want him in the middle. You don't put your Ferraris in the mud.
No,
I've never seen a Ferrari in the mud.
Even home, do you think?
I think so. Yeah. Petrarca, Oliver Viney against that. that's a big
ask.
When
you say that is insane, isn't it? Really?
The opening bounce most likely will be Heaney, Rowbottom, Goulden, or James Jordan against Petrarca, Oliver Viney, Gorn.
Yeah.
And at the SCG, that ball goes one way and it stays there in that forward 50. And I just think if the Swans somehow, say the Swans win the battle, that defense against that they have at the moment, the D's, is just, that's a brick wall.
Well, they're very back end heavy, aren't they? Because the further forward you get, it starts to
Yeah, there's not the thins out up forward, but they are back mid heavy, and then forward line is just like, I think they also know now when it goes in the forward line, start setting up boys, because this thing might be coming out quick,
pretty quickly.
That's what you see. That's why they hone it in so much. Like, it just rebounds back at them. So I think that and we'll do our footy tips. We're going to do a footy tip competition.
Yes.
So we'll take your tips now. Yep. I think the D's win this up there.
I'm going to go for the D's as well.
Thank you. Because my analysis?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lying. Bit of Pinocchio. No, I totally agree.
Friday night footy, I'm up there. And the boys know that when I'm up there, they've got to perform. Like, there's just they won't say this to me ever, and they won't get out. But they know that when dad's up there watching a game.
They say it with their eyes, though. You can tell.
They do. I can tell when they're on or not. Yeah. And they know dad's in the house. When dad's in the house, dad's at home. He says, come sit in the lap, boys. Mm. What did you get up to today? They know when to put it on. But it's a big ask here. It's a massive ask going to Brizzy and trying to amend and fix what happened last year, because that's a big scar.
Massive scar.
Massive scar. Even if they do get 5 goals up in this game, that scar is – that there's no stitches in it.
No.
It's open and raw.
You just don't forget that kind of stuff, do you?
You don't.
Like,
nah.
It's just ingrained. And, you know, virtually same team. You know,
it's hard.
Impossible.
Well, they're just – as I said, Brisbane – They're a good team, and obviously a good team, but they're mean as well. Like, they've got some real dog in them. And they'd be so wound up after this granny whole year. Watch them just come out and be angry. I love it. Man, when a team has a bit of venom in them, even if you're not any good, but you've got some real, real venom in you, I love that so much.
Or it's a bit throwback to what made Brisbane so good in the early 2000s. Mm. Like, they were arseholes.
Yeah.
Essentially.
They were. Yeah. Went out and just bashed people.
Yeah.
And they were good.
Yeah.
Bashed and were good. The forward line they've got is the most dangerous in the comp. And I'm willing to call that right now. Because that is just pick your poison, really. Which one do you want? Mm. You got your Lincoln McCarthy, who is so underrated in that forward line. If he played at any other Victorian team, you'd be talking about him like you would a Rankin. Mm-hmm. If you were talking about a Stengel, he is that good. And he's underrated because he got Cameron Danaher.
What do you think about Hipwood? I still can't decide what I think about him because he excites me. He does. I've struggled to see too many games where he kicks straight. But he's slight and quick and slippery for someone of his height. But I don't know how I feel about him. But he compliments Danaher very well, I will say that.
I think Fags picks Hipwood knowing that Danaher's your spearhead.
Yep.
Charlie's going to get your crumbs.
Yep.
And if he pops up with two, he'll take it. But then also the positive with him is he could kick 5.
Yeah.
And you're like, awesome. How good?
Yeah.
5 for Hipwood, 3-3 for Danaher Cameron. I honestly think that's how they think about him. Because he does some stuff where you're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then he'll have a quarter where he winds up from 55 3 times and has 3.25.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a real polarizing player. But the midfield of the Brizzy as well, it's just when they're rolling McCluggage, Dunkley, Zorko, Rayner, Lyons, Cameron through there, and Big O, who is so just, in terms of ruckman, doesn't get spoken about enough, good luck. Mm-hmm. And up there when that ball bounces 400 metres in the sky, that's a different centre bounce set up there.
They're too well trained for the conditions. They're too well trained for the Gabba. They know that it's, you know, what's the go again? The distance between the where the centre circle is in.
Like 3 Ks.
Like, it's not.
It's a long way. It's a long way. It's a highway.
Yeah.
It actually is, yeah. It's almost 2 kicks in there.
Insane.
Like, if you get out of centre bounce, kick it to 45. Some players can't kick 45. Like,
yeah.
it's another hit up kick.
Sorry. Do you honestly think that some players can't kick 45?
If Sam Docky can kick 45 metres.
You are kidding me.
Along with Goldstein, if he plays eating this footy, I'll honestly eat this Gatorade bottle. I generally don't think Sam
Who
Doherty,
the hell didn't tell me that when I was growing up? It's all right if you can't kick 45, you're still a chance to make a list.
There'd be heaps of players that couldn't kick 45.
What?
Heaps. I don't. Small forwards that couldn't kick 45. Matt always couldn't kick 45. Even when I look at Mason Cox's set shot, I don't think he can kick 45. He has the slowest set shot routine you will ever see.
No, it wasn't Adam Saad. He took forever.
There'd be a handful of players that couldn't.
Wow.
Lockie Schultz, you think he can kick 45?
I would assume so, but that's how little I know.
45 is only 5 away from 50, obviously. That's a big kick.
Yeah, I would imagine everyone from 50 could make the goal square.
Well, that'd be 45. What's the goal square? 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 40.
No, 5.
Is it 5?
Yeah. It wouldn't be 10.
That'd be a big goal square.
That's massive.
There'd be heaps of players that couldn't, mate. You'd be so surprised. So surprised.
What could you kick? What was...
Oh, I think my furthest goal was... I think Blighty kicked one from the wing. And I remember in the twos... You wouldn't see it. It definitely wouldn't be on camera. I remember getting a ball at half back on their 50 and just wheeling. And think it went about 3 seats back. So what's that? Like 165 metres.
I think I saw that on Red Leg Talk.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this kid kick a ball from the back half. The Blues, they just looked very, and I know we don't buy into preseason hype, and I'm not, but if they had won, I would be big time. They looked like Carlton the first half of the year. Just slow. There wasn't any of that hard footy pressure and then just getting on the highway and going. Yeah. Like, I didn't see that a lot, which makes me a little bit concerned. I think Harry's fixed himself up.
Yeah.
I mean, he did miss one straight in front, but I think that he has fixed it up. Yeah, which is wild. But he kicked 3-1 and the media acted like the world was melting.
It's interesting though, because your man Kingy did a tour of all the preseasons.
He nearly said.
He loved Carlton. He thought, these guys look on here. So literally. Interesting.
He said that they wound it back to Vossi's old school one-on-one footy for pretty much all session, every session. And that's what I'm hearing out of them is that their preseason was brutal.
Mainly in the gym? Like they're
no, like on field, like combat, go.
Yeah.
And that does take it out of you. Like they could be – every player right now is, yes, at their freshest, but also not – 100%. Mm. Everyone's a little bit got something, niggle, fatigue, cook, you know, something that they've got. So no one, while it's the start of the year, no one's feeling 100%. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're just in that niggle phase where everyone's just a bit, okay, maybe.
We've almost had a preseason before preseason.
Literally. It's the other thing on top of all that is that third goal kicker, I don't know who's going to bob up and kick the goals after Charlie and Harry. Who's the third one? Because normally it was Martin last year. Mm-hmm. You got no Jack Silvani. Mm-hmm. Matt always won't play.
You don't reckon?
No Motlop.
You reckon always will play?
I don't think he gets up.
Really? I like him.
I think he's a great player when he's up and running. I think, yeah. But I think your third was always going to be Jack Martin. And now it's literally only Harry and Charlie.
Mm.
And then you're just hoping someone else bobs up here and there. And that's a dangerous way to play footy.
Mm. As good as they are. You can't rely on Charlie right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. No, well, actually, no, you can probably rely on Charlie. Probably can't rely on Harry.
You don't know what you're getting at Harry.
No.
I think Harry in the preseason looked like he's clunking it better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he looks like he's moving better. Would I put him in the ruck? Absolutely not. No. Do not put Harry Mackay in the ruck, please. Play Pitto and play TDK.
Yeah.
Play TDK. It's actually, yeah. I don't know if that TDK-Pitto thing works all year.
Right.
This year. I just don't.
Do you prefer just to have one?
I just think for the way they're playing and the way that I know they want to move the ball, I think TDK fits in that game plan a lot more than Pitto. Pitto's a crash and bash, as we all know. That's a different conversation. But the back line, again, is obviously gaping. That weedering, the last two games, no weedering, there is like a hole, like the hole in the ozone layer back there. It is crazy. It is crazy. And it's I don't know when he's going to be back, but we need him back ASAP. And Walsh obviously not playing as well doesn't help the chances at all. So as much as I love my Blues, as much as I hope and pray every night they win the flag, this might be 6 goals loss, unfortunately, up there.
Easy lines for mine.
Yeah. Saturday afternoon, the Gold Coast Tigers versus the Richmond Tigers. Dimmer versus his old team. The 4:20 time slot is an advantage to the Suns. I'm calling it. Because after halftime, that ball gets greasy. Greasy. It gets like me in year 12 when I was trying to get the ski ramp with the gel.
Short stack.
Yeah, short stack. Is that a band?
Yeah. You know. Don't give me that look. You know exactly who short stack are.
Let's preface that. This Gold Coast thing isn't going to be good straight away. The thing that didn't help is that the Suns put this expectation that Dimmer has to win a flag in his time there.
Mm.
So now everyone's expecting it to be really good, but it's going to be bad for the first couple of rounds. It really is.
Does it have to be?
Well, I think the time's up. There's no more sympathy for the Suns.
No.
Well, you know?
100%.
So the expectation is you have to be good, but the reality is you won't be good or we won't know what you're doing as a team until round 4 onwards, really. I like a few things that they've done already. I love Alex Sexton, a halfback. Mm-hmm. That guy, he can run all day. Remember we had that season where he was kicking goals flat out? He can run all day. He's great by foot. But in that first half last week against the Giants, they looked horrible. Horrible. And that's part of the Dimmers' new game plan and what they're trying to do. But they couldn't have looked any worse. They looked like the worst team of the preseason.
Wow.
That bad against the Giants. Against the Giants, who are good, but they're not like not a Brisbane. And the week before, Brisbane smacked them around.
They're pretty good, mate. They're pretty good.
Well, I'll talk about them soon. They are good. I don't know how the fuck they're good, but they are good.
Yeah.
The Suns are, and they're $1.50 favourites at home on Sportsbet, which is, last time I checked, which is so short.
Yeah.
Very short against the Tigers, but they are a different team at home. I just don't know when the Dimmer effect kicks in. Mm. It might be round one. I don't think it is.
Think about how long it took the Dimmer effect to take place at Richmond.
Literally.
How many years?
It takes ages. It takes ages. And just as we spoke about how Brizzy have that real venom in them,
yeah.
I don't know which player at the Suns has that in him. What player do you think goes, I've had enough of this. Here's some dog. Let me unleash a fucking German shepherd on you guys. Let me rip open my chest and have this fucking staffy that hasn't been fed.
Ellis would be the only one I could think of.
Oh, if Ellis is, I love Brennan, I do, but if Ellis is letting off his staffy, that's just a cuddle and a pat and off
really?
You go. Like, who's your real, like your
no,
main,
you're right though.
Like, your okay. Maynard, your dog, your Luke Parker, your real Venom. Cripper, the Blues,
yeah.
Gets nasty, nasty. I don't think I've seen one Suns player that goes, you know what, we're getting done here. Cop this.
They're too nice.
Way too nice.
Yeah.
Way too nice.
Maybe Rankin would have been.
Yeah.
But like.
It's too nice.
But yeah.
Boys, enough tanning. Get some dog in ya. Get in the dog bed. You know, instead of getting the tanning beds, go home to your dog bed and sleep in that dog bed for a night.
Get in the kennel.
Get
How
fleas.
How good would that be?
Go get fleas.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Sniff each other's asses, whatever you need to do.
Here's this. I've got two dogs in me and they're fucking. That's what I've got in me, mate. I've got two of them just going to town on each other.
So what do you want from us?
Yeah,
we're trying our hardest over here, boys.
Yeah, I'm trying, mate. I've got two staffies just at each other. Richmond.
Dog eat dog world.
It is. Well, fuck in my case. This Uze game plan is already, as I just spoke about Dimmer and how we don't know what they're going to look like, because I didn't see it yet. You can see what Adam's doing here.
Yep.
This stuff of halfback, it's just get a slingshot. Pull it back as far as you can and off you go. Let it go. I mean, the only thing that they don't have is a lynch up forward clunk in it. So your Rioli's, your shorts are going 100 miles an hour. As soon as that kick gets to just before halfway, watch this link up and watch the slingshot go. It's just the thing that they don't have, which is going to hurt them this round potentially, is a lynch coming at it or a lynch doing a 2v1 or 1v1.
Do you like that tactic at this level? Do you feel like that's potentially something that could be quite effective?
Yeah.
In the twos, essentially.
I love it because it's so bold.
Yeah.
But it's literally all or nothing. Because if that ball comes, if they turn that over,
come straight back.
Back over their heads, yep. And there's people picking cherries in the forward 50.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how it goes against, they'll definitely do it against the Suns. I just don't think, again, the 420 time slot gets greasy. After halftime, if you pull the slingshot back and you fumble it, even when Rioli's trying to get a handball and it fumbles, see you later. There's a Max King waiting, Ben King waiting.
Yeah, or Max.
Or Max, who knows? Yeah.
Can you just explain for the uninitiated what happens on the Gold Coast in around that time? Like what's the weather doing?
So sun out, 4:20.
Yeah.
Everything's dry, everything's good. As soon as that sun goes down at halftime, that ball and the moisture on the ground comes out and it's literally like a bar of soap. It is absolutely cooked. There's normal marks just go through the hands. The way you kick it off your boot goes sideways. Like there's genuine advantage around training in that condition.
Do you remember training to that?
100%.
Like, what would you do?
We would do 4:20 training sessions. So the first half of training would be fine. And then we do the second half in the night and you could tell a massive difference. Handballs would go through hands. Like everything would be fumbly. It's a massive, I have no doubt that's a reason why the AFL has put a 4:20 time slot in there.
Let's give them a
100%.
Wow.
They need as much help as they can.
Wow.
I mean, the AFL's sending me up there to show them the two dogs in me later. Like, I want to know, I'd love to know how many 4:20 games they've got.
Yeah, right. Wow.
In saying that Suns and Richmond, we've gone through it all. We got the Douglas Suns and the slingshot happening. My footy head says just pick the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Just pick him because it's a safe tip. But I wouldn't be surprised if Richmond get him here.
I believe too much in storylines, and I can't imagine a world where Dimmer doesn't win his first game against Richmond. Okay, it has to be Gold Coast. Okay.
Fairy tale. And this one, this is real popcorn TV, this stuff. Giants Collingwood at the Showground for Livestock. He tweeted it. AFL premiers go to a Showground for Livestock, and now you're there, mate. Bring out the cattle. Let's start shoveling some manure. The Giants. How are they good? What do you thought?
When you say that, do you mean how physically can they organise a new team and maintain a high level like this?
They shouldn't be where they are given what's left. But then you look at what stayed, Canelio, Whitfield, Kelly, Toby, Tom Green, Sam Taylor. And you go, well, you have enough there to build around. It's just, it's not even like they're playing super exciting footy. They're a bit like Melbourne, I reckon. They just grind you away and they do the real basic stuff real well,
mm-hmm.
and then convert their opportunities. Mm. Like Toby doesn't miss, like you need to give Toby a step and he's gone.
Yep.
Jesse Hogan is so underrated. Kicked 49 goals last year.
Mm.
So they're going to be around the market.
What did you think about, I'm assuming you would have watched, and the name escapes me right now, but the doco that came out a couple of years ago where they tracked the Suns and I thought the way that everyone spoke in that club and the insight that I got, I was just really impressed by.
Mm.
Already in the last couple of weeks we've spoken about, you know, the fact that you go to the Gold Coast Suns and there's absolutely zero leadership, there's no identity yet, but it's incredible that this side in the west of Sydney has already been able to do that. Mm. And I think it's really evident.
Yeah.
I think that no matter who they've got, you are now starting to come into a side that knows who they are and knows how they want to be and conduct themselves.
Yeah. Well, I think they've bought into Western Sydney. So a lot of these players have come from Melbourne, whether it be, you know, country or private school or wherever it is. And then they've bought into this, okay, working class, let's get to work here, which is great. So when you get to the club, you go, well, if Toby and that are buying into it, okay, let's roll the sleeves up here. And that's how they play their footy. Like it's just hard footy.
Yeah. I really love Himmelberg as well.
Yeah,
I think he's a serious player.
He's very good. That move to halfback's been good to him.
Great.
He's been great.
Yeah.
Because he could go forward easily and do what Jesse's doing.
Yeah.
But he's gone back and just playing a super important role. And the Pies, the thing, how people don't have the Pies as premiership favourites after they come off a flag is just beyond me. Every year, if you win a flag as a team, no matter what happens, you are the favourite next year. You just have to be.
I suppose technically you have to be, don't you?
You have to be. Like I saw a Fox Footy article the other day where Collingwood like were third on their predictions. Carlton were 10th, Sydney were 9th. If you win, you just have to be. The hard thing for now, Collingwood, is that everyone's coming at them. Every round, you're getting someone's best. Every round, no matter if it's round one, opening round, opening round or round 15 against the Hawthorn, you're getting everyone's best. I still look at their forward line and I go, what the fuck? Bobby Hill, Schultz, Majacek, Mason.
It's a motley crew of players.
Mate, as good as they are, on paper, sometimes you look at it and on just looking at it, you go, dog's breakfast.
Yeah.
Like this is just a mix of super talented players, not someone who can get a game and be like, I'm taking this away from you.
Mm. One thing I will say, though, is that Brody Majacek remains one of my favourite players purely based off the fact that the dream feels alive for so many people out there. Like this guy was playing at Port Melbourne.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he's not unbelievable, but he will kick two a game.
Yeah. Played against him in Port Melbourne.
There you go.
My first game for the Bullants was against Brody Majacek and he was a defender on me and just towed me up.
Really?
Just abused me out there. So.
And then end of that year.
End of that year, must have got drafted.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's good that I could do that for him. But the Pies, I'm only saying the Pies win this game because they've come off a flag. And I have no other reason to say that they can't win a flag.
Mm.
Or, sorry, can't win this game.
Yeah.
You?
No, I agree, but I reckon all the talk that the Giants have been giving, which has been a lot, I think at home I'm liking them.
Do we think that talk's too much? Did you see their video last night?
Yeah, it's way too much.
Is it now just getting a bit pointed? Is it getting a bit sharp?
Well, I feel like at this point Collingwood probably either need to bite back or it's going to get embarrassing for the Giants.
They might come out and romp them by 10 goals.
Yeah.
It's getting pointed.
Yeah.
And I'm all for – you know me, mate. I was at Fox Footy last night in that PR thing and I love just going after people. But last night's post by the Giants, I was like, you're really going to piss them off.
Yeah.
You're really going to piss them off. I don't know.
Yeah. I need a riposte from Collingwood.
Yeah.
Or else now it's like, how many jabs do you want in a row before it gets a little embarrassing?
Man, I have no doubt they've got something lined up for post-game if they win. They'll have,
well, actually, the banner. We got to, man, whatever their banner is going to say.
If their Instagram photo for game day is on a farm with goalposts, I will fucking lose it. On a cattle farm with Mason standing there with a footy.
In a cowboy hat.
In a cowboy hat with his boots on and overalls. Just like big cow shits everywhere.
Yeah.
That would be unreal. I know they listen, so hopefully they do that. Okay, well, that's our predictions there.
Love it.
We hope that – I hope the Blues win, but I don't think they're going to win. Quick break here. I don't ask for much, but I am asking you guys to please do me a favor and follow, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on right now to join the community, join something we're building here. When you do that, it helps all of us here build an amazing show for you guys. It allows us to get more guests because they see the ratings and the follows and – all these numbers and they go, wow, I don't want to miss out on this opportunity. So please, takes 2 seconds to do it right now. Obviously, if you're not driving, if you are driving, pull over and do it. Follow, subscribe. Thank you so much. Wrong messages. Last week, we spoke about how you spoke about someone at the radio putting up their privates as a story. And I spoke about how I texted my mum saying that she was a bitch because I couldn't go to a party. So I did put the fillers out there to see what you guys had gone through. And we have a few here, just a few little ones here that I want to go through. Faz Track says, used to send photos of my shits to mates. One time I accidentally storied it.
Sounds like a great friendship group.
I actually went through that a little bit as well. You
really?
You do a real big one.
Well, I haven't thought about this in ages. RateMyPoo.com. Have you ever been on that?
No, but it's you have.
Just a website. And you
upload their poos.
Yeah, and you go, yeah, nice. Nice one, mate. Like,
yeah.
Good size.
Sometimes you do one and you're like, I don't know if you do, but you do one and you look back on it and you go, whoa, like, that's pretty impressive.
Mm. What's impressive about just size or colouring?
A few things, like size, ability not to break in the bowl. Texture is a big one. Like if I have chia seeds, mate, that thing comes out looking like a snake, which is great. So sometimes I'll just have chia seeds just to play with the body.
I think the most impressive thing is how many wipes. Because if there's none, I just think, I mean, like, I don't know how to show people this, but
this is
pretty good.
I tell you what's cool. Not cool at all. Tell you what's fun, what's good.
Okay.
Like, middle of the night, get up, do your business, go to wipe, nothing there.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's the best feeling in the world.
But I hope that's not just because you don't have the lights on. You can't tell.
Go back to bed. My bed's full of shit. So I thought there's so much shit in this bed. Nah, there's no better like gratification. Being like, I've got no work here.
Yeah.
It's like when a dog does it. A dog doesn't wipe. They just go and off
dogs
they go.
Dogs don't wipe?
Nah. Dogs don't wipe. I know they don't. Pick my dog's poo up all the time. Jacob Knock. In year 7, I text a girl a shirtless pic. Turns out she used her dad's phone, so she got a pic. So he got a pic of me at age 12, tensing as hard as I could. I used to do that all the time. Not send it to people's dads, but like tense real hard in the mirror. Oh, no.
A 12-year-old showing off their six-pack is hilarious.
James Ward, on a date with a girl that was really boring and sent a snap to a friend saying how boring she was and how badly I wanted to just leave. When I went back to my table, she asked me, what's this? Turns out I sent it straight to her, not my mate.
Oh, dear.
So awkward. Yep. So bad. And I also we left some questions here, guys. Trent McGow. Would you rather fight a chimpanzee one time a year or a chicken every time you open a car door?
I mean, this is an obvious one, I think.
Okay, what would you do?
Chicken.
I've had this conversation last year. I generally believe that I could fight any animal and come out on top in some way. So chimpanzee would be like another walk of the park for me.
You know, they rip people's faces off.
Chimpanzees?
Yeah.
I'm not intimidated by a chimpanzee. One time a year? Oh, hold on. Do I have to kill it or not? Or just fight it?
Well, I'm assuming you want to win because it could kill you. So it's essentially a fight to the death.
I mean, the chicken's just annoying. I'd rather just get it over and done with. If I'm saying I'm going to fight Volk in a ring, I have no doubt I can take a chimpanzee.
Okay.
So I'm taking the chimpanzee. Ryan Schneider, has Anna taken your last name? If no, why? She hasn't because she didn't want to be Anna Gorringe, which is, you can't argue with that, really. She did want me to change my name to Cannon, to be Daniel Cannon, which would have sounded powerful, but just different for you guys. Mm. I can't be a Daniel Cannon. No, that's my identity there.
Would you double barrel?
If Daniel Cannon Gorringe, Daniel Gorringe Cannon? Nah, I'm nothing without Gorringe. Sorry, that was just my chest, the two dogs in me.
Having a yeah. What are they saying?
I think they're rooting.
They never stop.
Yeah. Harry Neave. Sorry, no, they've stopped. Harry Neave, give us a Bluey McKenna story. Oh, Bluey McKenna. The first story about Bluey McKenna that came to my head immediately reading that out was not even a good story. Just my first memory was that we had an Oz Day party where the club actually came and gave us beers, like slabs of beers, to be like, hey, boys, go celebrate the day, rah, rah. You get the day off the next day. Weird as the CEO.
What?
CEO and coach. CEO definitely came and dropped beers off to us.
In late January.
In late Jan and had beers with us. And we got absolutely gassed up. One of the boys jumped in his car and drove home, but the police got him the night of. So the next morning, the club's called everyone into the club to obviously PR had to go into overdrive to let everyone know what was going on, what the messaging was coming out of it. So we thought we was going in for that. Anyway, the guy gets up in front of everyone and says, I'm so sorry, rah, rah. Then Bluey walks in his full training kit. And I'm like, here we go. Fuck, full training kit. Addresses us and says, everyone, go and put your runners on and get changed because we're going to do a training session. Everyone is absolutely fuck still. We walk out of the ground. Bluey has the sprinkler on in one pocket of the ground and soaking wet. For, I shit you not, 2 hours we were in that pocket wrestling each other, then running laps, wrestling each other, running laps. And the guy who caused all this, the guy that got done by the cops at DUI, had to sit on a seat and watch us as punishment. I was like, why is this guy not getting punished? He had fun, if anything. Now I'm getting punished out here.
That's insane.
Wild, 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 wild. So that's your Bluey McKenna. Hopefully he's turned the sprinklers off. I think he's coaching at Caulfield, Neil Harry, so do not go drink driving. Bailey Allen, blocked by Essendon on Instagram since I was 12. Got insider knowledge to solve this strategy. That's big. It's big to be blocked by IG. I don't. Maybe just create a different account. I don't know why you'd be blocked by. We need more info on that.
Mm.
What you'd be blocked for. Lockie Greig, who would you say is the most underrated player at the moment?
Good question.
I've seen him before. Big Oscar. Big O is underrated. Watch the Brizzy game and watch him just, he controls stuff in there.
For you, when someone is underrated or the most underrated, what's the criteria? Is it the amount of talk they're getting isn't justified or the fact that they're not getting any coverage at all?
It's impact on game, I think. So that probably leads into not getting enough coverage.
Right.
On what they're doing.
Okay. So if you feel like someone's doing something but they're not being talked about at all.
Yeah. Not as much as they should. A few of the mids that I know who are still playing, so that when they play Brizzy and they set up for either their ruckman hitting or get into Brizzy's tap zones, when Big O gets a fist and whacks out of the area, they reckon it just fucks the system so much. But Brizzy know it's coming. So that's why I say that Big O is the most underrated, because when he does that, it just puts everything into a shit blender. And he gets forward. He kicks goals.
Yeah.
And just massive. Just massive.
We love
just a
that.
Big boy.
We love that.
We do. Guys, this episode is brought to you by our good friends over at Sportsbet. We have some big things coming. There's something big coming in the next few weeks. So please, please keep your eyes peeled for that one. You'll love it. Because if I'm loving it, you'll love it. And it's very, very exciting. I want to look today at the opening round. We've just spoken about it. You can cut that in. I want to look today at the opening round and who's playing. I want to put a multi together because I think it's important for footy tipping and for us to get off. You want to get off on the right foot. You want to get away. Opportunity here to go One, two, three, four. Four from four straight away. So I'm liking Melbourne. I'm liking Brisbane. I'm liking the Gold Coast and Collingwood in a multi just to kick your season off right. If you put those four together right now, you're getting 827, and there's nothing really there that is wide. I think the biggest one we have there is Collingwood at 220. Mm. Guys, they've won the flag last year. That is money for jam. So, again, your multi this week, Melbourne, Brisbane, Gold Coast, and Collingwood, put that together, it's 827. Sportsbet, if you're not betting with Sportsbet right now, I don't know what you're doing. It's actually insulting to me, to us, but they're the best in the biz. If you're going to have a bet, make sure you're doing it on Sportsbet and gamble responsibly, please. This week, guys, a lot of people reporting on stuff. Everyone's excited. We talk about how the reporters on Clarko and Jimmy, and everyone's getting a little bit fizzed up at the moment. There's a lot happening in the journalist world. So they always talk about who's under pressure the most, mm-hmm. whether it be coaches or players, but no one talks about which reporters are under pressure. So this week is my top five reporters under pressure. At number five, with the fifth amount of pressure, Caroline Wilson. Her arrow has missed a few targets lately. Ooh. A lot of targets lately. And she'll be back on Footy Classified slinging them around again. But coming to this year, the heat's on her.
Yeah.
She's got to get a few right here.
Hit those bullseyes.
She's got to hit a few bullseyes at the moment. She's just slinging arrows around left, right, and center. Fourth most under pressure, the Sunday graveyard shift team. Kelly Underwood, Dermy, Brad Johnson, Dwayne Russell. Normally your culprits. And Cam Mooney to an extent. Not great to be on the graveyard shift. Understand you don't want to be there. But let's, come on, give us a bit more
up the ante
than that team. Because on a Sunday when I'm hungover on the couch looking at the 4:40 game, the last thing I need is that commentary team just serving me donuts.
Yeah.
I need a bit more for them. Third, Kane Corns. We know last year he said that Taranto wasn't a top 150 player in the AFL. Taranto obviously won the BNF and came 16th in the Brownlow. That builds pressure by yourself. I do like a few of his calls this year. I think he's hit a few nails in the head, but that last year has put him right back in the spotlight.
Yeah, the pressure's on now. Pressure's on. That's bad. That you can't be doing that.
Number two, Jared Waitley. Number one.
Just general pressure.
Just general pressure. Sam McClure, most under pressure this year going into the season. Yeah. Predicted that West Coast wouldn't draft Harley Reid. Here's a timeline. On Jan 29th, he says, if Charlie Curnow can't carry the team, the Blues could miss the eight. On Feb 7th, Carlton have to be premiership favourites, and if everyone tells you different, they're not following the right game. Same day, if Carlton isn't winning the premiership this year, something has gone wrong. February 23rd, when he's asked about who will play in the grand final, Collingwood and Port Adelaide. What? Sam's under the most pressure here. Under the most pressure.
Just throwing stuff at the wall and
just
seeing what sticks.
Just throwing shit around. Guys, that's my dog and me again. It's been a big preview of the opening round. We are doing a few things here. I think we're going to move the episodes to Monday.
Yeah. Why not? So I love it.
Why not? So next week's episode, you'll get this on a Monday coming out of the footy. That way your fingers can still be on the pulses, guys. And then on a Wednesday as well, I think.
Okay. We'll push that from the Thursday to the Wednesday. I'll drop that down.
I think so. We'll make notes of that.
Yep.
So
watch this space.
Enjoy your footy, guys. We're back. Thank God we're back. It's opening round. I know a lot of you and the teams you go for aren't playing, but just enjoy the extra week off. Get into opening round. I know, obviously, it's not in Melbourne and people are very touchy on that, but you can still watch it, still get around it. We'll be back next week to dissect everything. And we love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you too. Oh, sorry. We love you. Sorry.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.